Good morning.
Got to turn that on there.
Had anybody else seen that video before? Kareem? No. It gets me too. And the strange thing is, I don't know how everybody else is feeling, but I have a very unsettled feeling just about where we're at in history right now. And it's not separated from politics, but it's not only politics either. There's this reality going on in our world. It's not just even in our country, it's in our world, of overwhelming fear and anxiety. And some of that has been realized in very painful and tragic ways. And some of that is more of an uncertainty of what the painful and tragic events are signals of. In other words, what direction we're going, what kinds of things are happening. And I think as you read that poster that Kareem had written, it's rooted in an anxiety of, I thought my neighbors were my friends and family, and now I'm not so sure. And sometimes that anxiety runs through racial divides. Sometimes that line runs through faith divides. Sometimes that line runs through generational divides. And there seems to be this desire or belief among people that I need to find my team. I need to find those who are like me, because that's the only place where I can find peace, where I can find trust, where I can find community, where everything's going to be okay. And the really tragic part about this movement going on within us, there's nothing abnormal about it. It's completely rooted in human nature to seek out that which is similar and common and familiar, that we can surround ourselves with that and make our own team, our own club, and within this club we're safe. And in order to keep this club, we need to push out anything that's not exactly like this club. The issue is that never works. Ever. Because you always, always end up in a team or club of one. Always. And the amazing story of God is that from the very beginning, when sin enters the picture, sin brings with it division. It brings with it separation. It separates us from God. It separates us from our creation. It separates us from each other. And it even separates us from our true selves, from who we really are. Sin brings all of this division and separation. And what has God been doing from the very beginning? God has been working to undo sin. God is working to undo what's been undone, to bring back together that which was designed to be unified in the first place. When you go back to the story of Abraham, right? What was God's command to Abraham? What's that? Yeah. Go away. Leave your father's house, right? This sounds like more division, doesn't it? Like on the surface, this sounds like, well, God's breaking up family here, right? Go away from your family, go away from your group. But then the story goes on and God says, you are going to be a tribe for all tribes. Through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. God has this bigger plan going on of unity. And actually, this separation that takes place, it's not a story about separation. It's actually a story about unification, but unification in a different way. Because the world back then was very similar to the world that we experience now. Very tribal. Very anxious. very much let's group together with people who are a lot like we are, and let's fend off anybody who's different than we are, and let's look out for number one. Let's protect the tribe. Inwardly focused. Everything pouring in to this tribe. And God says to Abraham, No. You're going to be a tribe for all tribes. The other tribes exist to bless themselves. They bless in. Your purpose is going to be to bless out. You are going to be an inverted tribe. You are going to flip it. You're going to go the other way. And rather than existing for yourself and for this close little knit group, you're going to start with this close knit group and go out. And you are going to bless beyond. And through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. And the crazy thing is, we didn't get it then. And so the world continues in these ways. And even this season of preparation, we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ. And even in this ultimate display of love and affection, for God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall never perish but shall have everlasting life. All of this fear, all of this anxiety that's around us all of the time, all this uncertainty, God so loved the world, God so loved you and me and the person that we disagree with and the person that we're against and the person who's our enemy and the person that opposes us. God so loved all of His creation that He gave us His only Son, that whoever believes in Him has nothing to fear, that there is absolutely nothing that you need to worry about. In this world of anxiety, I don't think that necessarily means that we sit back and do nothing either. But it has to do with giving what we receive. Now, in the Christmas season, there's a lot of gift giving that goes on, right? It's a little gift giving recently, right? Some of it's white elephant gifting, right? Some of it is maybe giving to somebody who's in need, someone who needs something. Some of it is maybe within family and that sort of thing. And then every once in a while, there's a gift that can keep on giving. How many people love Christmas Vacation? Come on. The movie, Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Like the Jelly of the Month Club. Okay? That's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year, Clark. There are certain gifts that, when given, it's not really the Jelly of the Month Club. There are certain gifts that when we give them, not only do they bless us, but they allow us or empower us to become a blessing to somebody else. Which is the flip that you see happen in the video that Dwayne showed us this morning. You see this situation where you have a man with a sign that, what is the message of the sign? If you had to boil it down, what's the message of the sign? Okay. Did you read it? Yeah. I would actually say, as I read it, the sign to me says fear. I'm afraid. I mean, like it has all of these things that you're mentioning that are what he's longing for, but they are not what he has. And he stands there vulnerable, blindfolded, unable to see what's going on. But the sign says, actually in bold letters, I am scared. There's not something he's bringing. There's something he's stating, and it's a statement of lack. I lack security. I lack the confidence that there is love and goodwill and support around me. I will stand with you, but with everything going on around me, I'm totally insecure about who will stand with me. And then you see these handshakes and these hugs start to happen, which is gift to him, right? Have you ever been in that situation where you were actually able to be there for somebody or able to provide something for somebody or able to do something? Like, have you ever been in a situation where you were able to give a gift and yet you received more than you gave? That happens all the time, right? It very seldom happens with things that you buy. But it happens frequently when you give from what you have. When you're able to stand with somebody else. When you're able to be a friend to somebody else. And so often in these situations, if you've ever gone and done volunteer work, Mennonite Disaster Services does great work all over the country and actually beyond the country's borders. MCC tends to do a lot of the stuff that's international. But MDS does all of this work in our country whenever there's a natural disaster. And I'm from Kansas, and in Kansas you have tornadoes. So you have lots of opportunities to respond to natural disaster all the time. And when you respond to these things, usually we're going to do a cleanup because a storm has come through and wrecked somebody's house and belongings. And before they can rebuild, they got to clean up what's there. And there is never enough strength, labor, support to get it done. And so MDS will come in and help clean up someone's property so that they can begin to rebuild. So we're not actually the ones who typically come in and finish the house. We're the ones who come in and pick up. And that's not always true. There's other things that happen. But you come into this place where everything's been destroyed and you get work a 12-hour day of cleaning up debris and mess. And it's hard work. And you sweat. And when you're done at the end of the day, you're tired. Your back hurts. Your feet hurt. And you've never felt better because you were able to stand with somebody who genuinely needed help, and it was help you were able to give, and you give it. And in that space, you get more. You receive more. There is this way in which God has connected us where we crave and long for and need meaningful connection with other people. We need compassionate relationships, trusting relationships. We need to stand together. And something happens when we do that that brings healing, brings hope, brings peace. And this story of Christ, this story of Jesus, is right at the heart of this whole thing. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 1. I'm sorry, Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This Christmas story is surrounded by a lot of fear and anxiety and tragedy. There is all kinds of heartbreak surrounding this story. And if I'm really honest about what I would pray for or hope for, it's that Jesus wouldn't have to flee to Egypt in the first place. That the mighty God of all creation would step down into the midst of it, stop whatever bad things were happening, intervene, and make things as they ought to be, right? But that's actually the story that perpetuates the fear and violence that we see around us all the time. When the solution that we come to for everything that troubles us is to overpower it, to overwhelm it, to defeat it, to violently overthrow it, then we're actually participating in the very thing that we fear, in the very thing that we say that we are against, that we oppose. We actually, in that same space, become the problem that we long to solve. The path to peace is long and difficult. And the amazing gift of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God of all creation, walking among us, teaching and showing the way that God would have us live. A different way, a third way. One that doesn't just simply lay down and get trampled upon. One that doesn't overcome by power or might or force or violence, but one that instead insists that there is a way of healing, a way of peace, a way in coming alongside each other, in standing together with presence and kindness and mercy, and insisting that broken things can be put back together through love and compassion. As we celebrate Christmas, the season, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, there are probably many things in our world that are not as we wish they were. There are things within our own families, things within our own bodies, things that take place with our friends, things that take place in our work, things that happen with our community and our neighbors, things that happen within our church, things that take place within our country, things that go on within our world, all sorts of different things that have the potential to fill us with worry, fear, anxiety, things that present to us an opportunity to respond. And the way that we respond is deeply rooted in our understanding of who God is and what God is like. The gift of Jesus should radically transform our view of who God is and what God is like, and create for us a space to walk in a new way, to interact with others in a new way, to invest our time, our energy, our resources in a new way, to communicate in a new way, to see others in a new way, to speak and be heard in new ways. And I think the challenge for us as God's people is, will we celebrate Christmas with good friends and good food and be jolly, as rightly we should, and let it end there? Or will we instead insist that this gift of Jesus must be multiplied and shared, that this must be a gift that grows? A gift that grows not through power or coercion, not through force or violence, but a gift that grows because we give the gift we've been given. As God has met with us and reminded us, fear not. Everlasting life is on your side. There is nothing against you. There is no power that can overcome you. Almighty holds the keys to your life, is with you eternally. Do not be afraid. We've talked about this before. All of the passages in the Bible about not fearing. How many again, Kristalyn? 365. 365 opportunities in Scripture to not fear, to not be afraid. Which I would argue does not mean that there are not things that trouble us. It means we don't allow anything to overwhelm us more than the presence and grace of God. And so as we encounter difficulty, can we respond to it with the mercy we have received? As we face things that unsettle us, can we step into the midst and provide a non-anxious space? A space that insists that the God of all creation is still at work. Because it's my deeply held belief that when we do that, we're actually not really giving up anything. We're multiplying and growing the grace that we've received. And we find ourselves in a world that is in desperate need of grace and mercy. We find ourselves in a world that is afraid, that is fearful, that is uncertain. And there are all kinds of ideas about how we should respond when that happens. And God provides us with His invitation to how we might respond. Through grace, patience, trust, kindness, presence. The very first proclamation of Jesus' birth, and we're going to end with this. The very first proclamation comes in Isaiah, right? Like we know about the prophet's invitation. Does anybody know about what the circumstances were that caused the prophet to make this declaration? I mean, God gave him the words to speak, but does anybody know what was happening around them? The world was in chaos. The people who lived in Judah at the time were terrified. They were being besieged on a couple of different sides by different warring nations that wanted to conquer them and overthrow them. And there was this belief starting to stir within the leadership at that time that what they really needed to do was partner up with this other nation that also wanted to do violence, that also had empirical aspirations, that they should partner up with these people so that they could wipe out these people. And it was all rooted in this fear and this anxiety of what was going to happen, this worry. And Isaiah speaks to them and basically says, you need to have faith and trust. And God is with you. Their culture, their world was all kinds of upside down and very much similar in feeling and very much different in terms of what was happening. Warring nations all around them. Chaos. Chaos was happening. And in the midst of that whole thing, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. Before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of two kings you dread will be gone. The Lord will bring on you and your people and the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. It was this word that God was still at work behind the scenes. It was this proclamation of what was going to be coming. Do not be afraid. God is not done. God is still at work around us all the time. And we as God's people have the opportunity to celebrate in a way that blesses, to be mindful of the gift we've actually received, to be overwhelmed by the amazing love that God has poured out upon us, and to live from that place, to allow that kind of grace and mercy and kindness to change not only our hearts, but our actions, our words, our thoughts, our views, to change the way that we live, which is why the gift was given. God so loved the world. God wants to see all of the brokenness put back together again. God wants to see all of the hatred and fear turned to peace and joy. God wants to see all of the broken relationships mended. God wants to see all of the anger melt. God has a desire for His people to live in just peace. Peace with themselves, peace with others, peace with all creation, and peace with God. It's not within our control to make this happen. But it is within our control to participate with the peace God is creating, starting within us and going out from there. May we be a people of peace. As we celebrate Christmas this year, may there be joy. And may that joy not stop with us. May it overflow. Wherever there is a place for you to be kind, be kind. Wherever there is a place for you to be merciful, show mercy. Wherever there is a place for you to give your presence, show up. And wherever you can spread love, multiply it. May we celebrate this gift of Jesus the way Jesus celebrated, the person who Jesus was, with peace and grace and mercy. Would you pray with me today? Gracious God, You have loved us in such an incredible way. And it is so easy for us, God, to take our eyes off of who You are and what You have done, and to focus on everything happening around us. But we know that doing that doesn't solve the troubles that we face, but so often grows them. And so instead, God, we ask that You would help us today. Help us to see You more clearly. Help us to know You more fully. Help us to trust You completely, and to live from a place where we hear Your voice and we know that we are loved and held and forgiven, that what we have is enough because we have You. Be with us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.